Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, I'm not an expert in humility. It's something I've got to work on. Nobody here is an expert in humility. Every single person in our church needs to work on this beautiful virtue that's taught in the Bible. I am not an expert in humility, and it's a lifelong process, there's no doubt about it, but I think I know what humility feels like. I think I know what it means to be humble. I want to explain that to you, the feeling of being humbled. It happens on occasion at our house that the house is not in presentable fashion for guests. Clothes are maybe scattered over on the floor. Toys, little Lego pieces in the playroom. Carol, you probably know what I'm talking about. Carol's over at our house. Shoes are scattered in hallways where they shouldn't be. Someone has put like a flashlight or a tape measure on the kitchen table. I don't know who would have done that. Books and papers are scattered on the dining room table. It's not all that presentable. And it's when the house is not that presentable that conceivably someone calls, a neighbor calls and says, I've got some produce for you and I'd really like to come over and see your baby. Can I come and visit you in the next 20 minutes? That's fine, we say. But it's at that moment that panic sets in. Grabbing all the shoes, grabbing all the clothes, gathering the flashlight, gathering the books, the papers, the little Lego pieces, and we take them all in our hands to that hidden room. Do you have a hidden room at home? Maybe a dark room? And it's all good, and then the guest arrives to the house, and it's excellent. We show off our house. We have many good rooms to show them, and we're proud of the pictures and the paintings and the furniture in those good rooms, but never should they enter the hidden room. There are secrets in the hidden room. And then it happens. Maybe the instructions to the bathroom aren't good or clear, or maybe they're wandering around in a place that they shouldn't go, but that door opens, and you see all the shoes, all the clothes, all the little Lego pieces, all the tools and papers are exposed for everyone to see. And see, that's the moment. That's the feeling. Have you ever had that feeling when someone opens your hidden room? That's humility. That's being humble. All your deep, dark things hidden in a secret room are exposed for everyone to see. The Bible gives targets. I call them targets and ways in which we should live and ways in which we should behave. And one of those targets, I've got a target right up here. One of the very sure targets the Bible gives is gospel humility. Humility. It's in both our passages this morning from Proverbs chapter 25. Elaine read that text. Solomon, the wisest person to ever live on the earth, it said these words, do not stand in the presence of the king or take a great place. Then 900 years later, Jesus says these words in Luke chapter 14 about humility. Jesus says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. I don't know about you, but when the wisest person in the world and the Savior of the world pretty much agree on something, we better pay attention, and we better follow what they're saying. But how do we know that we're practicing humility? How do you do it? How do we know that we've hit the target, the bullseye for humility? Well, there are a couple ways in which we miss the target that our world teaches. And I want to talk about that first. The first example of when we miss the target is when we think of ourselves lowly. Now, that might stun you because it looks like the text is saying that. Take a low position. Take the lowest seat. This sort of thing. Think of yourselves lowly. But actually, that's actually not what the Bible teaches. Because sometimes that can lead to a false humility. It's not very genuine. Jesus actually speaks against false humility. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, do not follow the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces when they fast so that they can be seen by everyone. A false humility. When we practice false humility and view ourselves lowly, maybe perhaps to get in someone's better grace as kind of a hidden agenda type thing, this happens often, we're missing the target of the clear teaching of Solomon and Jesus Christ. There's another way that we can miss the target of humility. It happens when we talk about ourselves all the time. That makes sense. When we show pride and we just talk about ourselves. Do you know anyone that does that? Wives, are you hitting your husband right now? Husbands? You know, there was a study done. Think about this. About 5 years ago, of many of the top companies in the United States. And the research firm was looking at what separated great companies from just fair and okay companies. And what they did was they took a look at thousands of emails between the leaders of these companies to find out what was discussed and what the verbiage and vernacular of the company was. And one of the leading indicators of a difference between a great company that does very well and a fair and average company was this. The leaders in the great company never took credit, hardly ever talked about themselves. They were shy, even. In fact, the study came out and said the leaders would oftentimes say, I don't know how we did so well, it was just the circumstances. And they'd say such things as this, our company was blessed with amazing people. And the research further showed that the leaders would use the word we, plural we, four times over the word I, or me, or mine. It went on to show that actually the exact opposite happened with the just average firms. They didn't even perform well in the stock market. They didn't perform well as the leading companies. They found that the leaders of those companies oftentimes took credit for everything. They talked about themselves. And they discovered that the leaders in their emails would oftentimes use the word I four times over the word we. So when we talk about ourselves and just think of ourselves and we show pride just in ourselves, we miss the target of humility. But there's something worse than just missing that target. We're sinning because God wants us to have a heart for others. But there's another thing. When we just think about ourselves, students, athletes, here you go. If you talk about yourself and your accomplishments, your team will suffer. Your employer won't do as well. Your church won't prosper. So that's missing the target. Well, how can we hit the target of humility? How can we do that? Well, it happens when we just are who we are. We don't put ourselves up on a pedestal and we don't put ourselves down low and practice low loathing. We just are who we are. We don't put on appearances. Nothing else like that. You know, each one of us has dark rooms, hidden rooms in this church. And I'm not talking about our homes, physical homes back at home. I'm talking about our personal lives. Beliefs, thoughts, actions, deeds that we really don't want to expose to anyone else. We want to hide it in the corner of our homes and not have anyone see it. It could be an addiction that we want to kick, or maybe an addiction we don't want to kick, but no, we don't want anyone to know. It could be a hurtful habit to someone that we don't want anyone to know and we want to keep it quiet. It could be a health diagnosis that we want to keep quiet because other people might judge us. It could be a sin committed in the past or a sin, ongoing sin right now, or a sin that we're planning in the future. When we have those dark things, there are a couple ways that we go about coping with them. We can kind of group them all together and hide them in that hidden part of our life so that no one else can see. And when people come into our lives, we guide them to the more the topics that we like to talk about, like Beavers football or the weather outside, or our joys and triumphs in life. But see, when we keep those things in our dark corners, we're not really practicing humility, because we're not opening ourselves up, the good and the bad, to others. One thing has happened that's kind of unusual in our household with a third child is that you lose shame. What I mean by that is the messes in our house they're increasing. They're not decreasing. Shoes scattered even more. Clothes off over here. Cushions on the couch, cattywampus. More papers by the pastor who clutters them up on the kitchen table. All these things are happening, but you see what's happening, slowly what's happened in our family is the first child, we wanted to look pristine and excellent. As we've come to our third child, we're like, all right, we're just going to be who we are. And when people call up to come over to the house, we are getting more and more like, we're just going to be who we are. If they like us, great. If they don't like us, oh, too bad. And a funny thing has happened. No longer panicked, running around, picking up all the clutter, and throwing it into the hidden room. No longer are we so much panicked to get the person as they come over to guide them away from the hidden room. All the rooms have a little bit of a mess in them. It's not bad, Carol. It's not too bad. But there's a little bit of mess in each room. And all of a sudden, what happens is the people that visit us are a little more relaxed because they see that we're just like everybody else. That's biblical humility. Just being who we are. We don't have to panic. We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry that someone's going to go into that dark secret room and expose everything. Friends, there's an even deeper truth in this. Jesus wants to enter your life and enter your home and be invited inside. And he does not want you to clean it up in pristine fashion so that it looks perfect. And he does not want you to throw all the secret things in your life, whatever they may be, addiction, hurts, pains, sins. He doesn't want you to throw them into a secret place. He wants you to leave your house just as it is. That hymn, beautiful hymn, just as I am, not waiting, not to rid my soul of one dark blot. It says, and Jesus comes and cleanses each spot. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. And Jesus comes into our house. He comes into our house. And it's not that he just doesn't judge things and says everything's good and fair. Jesus cleans our messes. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and cleanses us. The Greek says, purifies us from all our sins, and we are made clean. No more hiding, no more secret places, no more dark corners in our life. That's humility. Only one person in Luke's gospel is called humble. Mary, Luke 1, verse 52. Not because she's perfect, not because she doesn't have her messes. Do you know why I think she's called humbled? Because she just presents her life as is, as a teenager, and says, God, just take the good and the bad in my life and use me. That's humility. May that be practiced at our church. May it be said of Peace Lutheran Church, we're a humble church. Not because we've got dark rooms or because we have messes, but because we just are. And we invite Jesus in. May that be said for each member of our church, that we are humble servants of God. Every single one of us has messes. But what we do is just present ourselves to Jesus, and he cleanses us completely. When we do that, when we just are, and Jesus comes into our life, that's a bullseye in gospel humility. Amen. Let's pray about that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the challenge to be a little more humble in our life. And we thank you that that's a clear teaching from Solomon and also Jesus. Help us to open up those dark rooms in our conversations, in our church, and not just live on the surface level, but to open ourselves up so that Jesus can come and be with us and clean us with his power. In his name we pray. Amen.